You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker in the studio with Patrick Webb, as always. How are you doing today, Patrick?
Good, Derek. How are you today?
I'm really good. I am really excited about this episode. We've been talking about this guest for quite some time. That's Keith Downey. You and I have been talking about Keith and what he's working on here at the Montana Family Foundation, the Church Ambassador Network. We're just really thrilled to have Keith here. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's just an awesome guy. Keith, how are you?
I'm great. Great to be with you gentlemen here and in studio in Helena. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. We're glad you made the trip and we're glad you took some time to record an episode of the podcast here with us. And, you know, we just want to start off by having you explain what is the Church Ambassador Network and why does it matter for Montana?
So the Family Foundation has wanted to embark on an initiative to engage pastors, kind of broadly speaking, in public policy and in the public square, and very specifically, the Church Ambassador Network program started in a number of other states, focuses on doing that with pastors themselves and realizing that the government and the civil authority is God's ordained authority, and the one in authority is God's servant. We should connect the pastors of our churches with their counterparts, the shepherds in government, if you will, in a way that builds a relationship. It's a pastoral care ministry on the part of the pastor. It's a great commission ministry, and it's intended to not be overtly partisan or political, but more pastoral in nature, so that any pastor from any church, regardless of their perspectives on the role of their church in the public square, can participate. And it's amazing, Derek and Patrick, the receptivity has just been so high. And I think people are realizing what's happening out in the culture, the stakes that are in play in government and in the courts right now, and feeling like they really do need to be engaged as the body of Christ, as the church. And here's a way for them to do that by coming alongside their representative, their state senator from their district in a pastoral kind of way. And that is just very natural for pastors.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and Keith, that was a great explanation of what the Church Ambassador Network is and everything that we hope it will be for the future of Montana. How did it start here? You want to share the story?
Yeah, well, so I had my own personal background was heavily in politics in Minnesota. And after my wife and I, quote unquote, retired out here, I was thinking about how to bring what I knew from a state that arguably has gone largely in the wrong direction and make sure that we protect ourselves here in Montana from that. And so the things that I had experienced and knew, I thought maybe I could bring that to bear here. And one thing led to another. I did a small group study at our church, and the men's group there really liked it and thought I should try and push that out. So I published it, and I put up this small entity called the Big Sky Center for Biblical Citizenship, largely to be a place where this Bible study, this small group study, could be developed and pushed, and kind of a broader effort to engage Christians in their civic life, their civic engagement in an intelligent way, a faith-based way, and an effective way. So in doing that, I was networking and chatting with the Family Foundation, got referred to you, Derek. And when we're on the phone, you all of a sudden popped the question, well, why wouldn't we do the Church Ambassador Network? And would you want to do it?
Right.
And one thing led to another, and here we are.
Oh, man. I still remember the phone call, and it was totally organic like that. Just talking with you and hearing about, you know, what you were already working on, which was just perfectly dovetailed with everything that the Church Ambassador Network would do, you know, getting churches engaged And I think, you know, Patrick and I have talked about this, that there's a feeling out there. There's a palpable feeling that people are hungry and thirsty for churches to get more engaged in the culture.
Yeah. And I think something to remember for folks that are listening is, you know, we work in tandem with each other oftentimes. So, you know, Keith is out doing work with churches and pastors across the state. And if there's anything that we can do to support his work in doing that, we are all ears. We're ready to help him out. And, you know, we have kind of our own areas of focus, but the vision behind bringing on the Church Ambassador Network, as I understand it, is to kind of help bolster that need to kind of push in and kind of get some engagement into our church community, because there's just so many people that are yearning for their churches to be involved.
And just to take a step back too, Patrick, like, it's really exciting to be all in the same room here together with Keith and you and myself, because we're kind of, you know, you think about the three branches of government, we're kind of the three branches of the Montana Family Foundation. We have church engagement with Keith. We have grassroots with you, Patrick. And then we have, you know, legal / policy over here in my area. And we all work on, you know, we all help each other out. There's cross training there. But, you know, everything that I'm doing is hopefully helping you guys and vice versa. And that's really exciting, just to, you know, this is the brain trust. So we have fun working together.
And I'd be really interested for Keith to talk a little bit about, you know, another, I mean, connected passion of his with the biblical citizenship, because there are just a lot of parallels to his passion to actually engage grassroots communities.
Right.
Very similar to the work that I'm focused on, but that we're all a part of. And just kind of curious about that biblical citizenship program and kind of your ideas for that.
Yeah.
Right. The statement you made, Derek, about there being a hunger or a yearning on the part of people, I don't know for sure where it is all coming from. And if it's the Holy Spirit kind of encouraging and equipping people to be involved as they see what's happening in the culture around them as it seems to get closer and closer to home.
Right.
But there is a real interest, a real hunger for, like, knowledge on practical things about how can I get involved and what can I do? And I, you know, here's Patrick already doing that with grassroots engagement. But I felt like it was important to try to equip faithful Christians who just want to be faithful to their Lord, right, who just want to fulfill their callings in life. And to say, what is it that looks like for a faith-based person to consider what God has called them to in the public square, perhaps, and to do that from the grounded position of knowing what does Scripture actually say about freedom, about government, about citizenship? What are the models that we can carry forward? And so for me, my interest is less about creating Christian political folks, it's more about helping people be faithful to their own calling and to their own faith and to be salt and light, and for the church to do the same thing. We have right. talked about what is the role of the church in society, and Ephesians 1 puts it right out there. The authority of Christ over the heavenly and the earthly realms is for the church. It is right. for the body of Christ. And so how do we faithfully live that out, especially given what we see out there in the culture right now and how people are just increasingly nervous. The ground that we stand on just does not seem stable anymore. So how do we equip them and give them a chance to participate effectively?
Right. Well, and you know, in my experience, it seems to be coming from the ground up rather than from the top down. Not all the time. But, and what I mean by that is you see congregants, you know, just churchgoers really hungering to get involved. And sometimes the pastors, and I don't mean to throw pastors under a big bus here, but sometimes they're a little squeamish to get involved in issues of policy. Is that what you're seeing? Or as you're going out, I think you're hitting Hall of Fame numbers here in terms of reception to the Church Ambassador Network. Can you talk about why it's being well received by pastors and why other efforts have failed, why pastors have been squeamish in the past?
So a couple of answers. And the first one is, I think this notion that faithful Christians watching what's happening are motivated, and it is, I'll say, bottom up, is very, very true. And there are groups all over the country. This is not just Montana.
Yeah.
There are groups everywhere that are all looking at, what do we do? How do we come together? And Christians are finding each other across building lines and across denominational lines, and they're coming together to be engaged in their community for the good of the community, right? In love and care for the community, to bring faith, hope, and love to their community. These things on the surface seem political and cultural, and yet at the bare bones, they're human, right? The human catastrophe that we're seeing out there, and people, Christians of goodwill, wanting to do something about it. They're coming together and saying, we need to be the body of Christ. We need to be the church. And, you know, we really hope that our institutional churches and the buildings come along with it, but it's really kind of an organic ground up thing. And that's what I think is really hitting the right notes with the Church Ambassador Network, is that you provide a pastor an opportunity to be a pastor to their elected official, to care for them, right, minister to them as a person, yes, as a legislator or a public official, but it is really just in line with their pastoral heart that the Church Ambassador Network asked them to get involved in the first place.
So when we talk about getting pastors involved in policy and with their elected officials, what does that mean, Keith? You know, for our listeners, are pastors going out and saying, vote yes, vote no on such and such bill, or this is the stance you should take? What does that pastoral heart look like in the Church Ambassador Network?
So a lot of different churches and a lot of different pastors have kind of already pre-built predispositions, one end of that spectrum or not, right?
Sure.
But the Church Ambassador Network really allows any pastor who has a pastoral heart, which they all do, to bring the word and to bring the gospel and to bring prayer and to bring personal concern for these elected officials in a way that is, to start, not political at all. It is really just caring for that person and letting them know that they have a pastor on their side as a person and as an elected official or a government official. So that's the level at which we ask them to start. Where it goes from there is really dependent on the relationships that they form between the pastor, the shepherd of the church, and the elected government official, the shepherd of government.
Well, and one of the things I love about the Church Ambassador Network is that it's not partisan. So when you talk about caring for and praying for and ministering to elected officials, it doesn't matter if there's an R or a D or any other letter associated with that individual. It's just the role of the church for that human being who is an elected official.
So when a pastor goes to an elected official who is a non-believer, is that largely an opportunity for them to kind of witness to this individual, or is it just, you know, hey, I'm here, and it's just kind of a personal introduction? Are there any kind of ideas or best practices there?
The essential aspects of any meeting between a pastor and an elected official in the Church Ambassador program is that you open the word and you bring the word to them and you ask them for what is going on in their life, what concerns do they have, how can you pray for them, and then the pastor prays for them. So whether that's a 3-minute on the fly
right,
meeting in the rotunda of the Capitol, or whether it's a half hour meeting at a coffee shop in district, that's really the basic premise of it. Our pastors, of course, free to bring their perspectives to the table as the relationship develops, you bet. But the initial emphasis is just on ministering to that person as a person and as a government official.
And there's no quota here. I mean, there's a saying with the Church Ambassador Network that it moves at the speed of relationship. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So the point of the meetings between a pastor and their government official is to build a relationship and to have that relationship grow over time, whether that's an annual, you know, visit in district, or every 2 years you come up and you meet them at the Capitol and meet with them and pray with them, or whether it becomes something even more regular. it is intended to kind of grow as a relationship. And from there, we have the chance, the pastors in the Church Ambassador Network have a chance to build Christ into these people and to build Christ kind of collectively into the legislature and even into state government more broadly. And the hope is that that's going to bear fruit. It can't not bear fruit, right? It is the pastoral heart that bears the fruit.
So I suppose there's a question that people may be thinking is, how come, you know, if I'm a pastor, how come I just can't go out and do this by myself? What are the benefits of partnering with the Church Ambassador Network versus me just saying, I'm just going to go build these relationships on my own?
I think encouragement, number one, awareness that there is this happening and that other pastors are doing it. And then the last thing is we equip and facilitate that. And that's, you know, my job, our job at the Family Foundation is to make sure that we catalyze this and make it happen. So, you know, I think it's a latent desire on the part of pastors, every single one of them, regardless of their political predispositions or not, seeing what's happening in the culture to be involved. And then when they hear, wow, there is actually a program and it's organized and there's some structure to it. And oh, here there's a little devotional guide that they can share with their elected official. And there's a group of pastors that are going to be doing this together and hopefully growing that network of pastors over the next couple of years. That's a real encouragement. It's way easier to do. And there's some design and some structure to it that they don't have to just create out of thin air.
Right. No, and you know, frankly, we get the benefit of that from other Church Ambassador Network programs around the country. You know, we aren't the flagship. But that's okay. We get to learn from other organizations that have tried certain things and have done certain things. So that's hopefully it's a benefit to churches here in Montana as well. I just to shift gears to something totally controversial here, Keith. You know, we were talking before this episode about what is the role of the church, and you had mentioned Ephesians 1 and you know, the power and authority of Christ here on earth. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I know we've talked about it in our private conversations, but I'd love to share what you shared with us, with our audience.
Sure. I guess the premise is that the church as the body of Christ is the indwelling of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and we are Christ to the world.
Right.
And so the church, as Christ sits in the heavenly realms with authority over heaven and earth, and that authority is for the church, for his body here on earth, I think there's a self-perception that we should have as believers and as the church broadly, that we do have that authority, and we're called to live that out faithfully, in obedience and consistent with Christ's will for you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? That is the calling. And so I think the church needs to see itself less as just another actor on the civic stage and more as that body of Christ that actually is here in authority for Christ over everything here. And yes, God has instituted the civic arena, the government realm under his authority, and they are shepherds under his authority as well. But really bringing the full dimensions of the kingdom of God to the kingdoms here on earth, that's really the church's job. And so we have the chance to bring the true, the good, the beautiful, right? The city of God to the city of man. And when we do that, good things happen. This is not just about the church somehow being a political actor or being engaged in the culture. This is about the church being faithful, being the body of Christ. That's what it's really all about.
Right.
So one question, you had said that, you know, God has instituted our civic institutions and has ordained them. And I think one question that a lot of, well, maybe it's a challenge that a lot of believers have, is it is very difficult sometimes to see that our leaders are acting in our best interests or even God's interests sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I think, as I understand it, the perspective is, God has the ability to take anyone out of power and to place anyone into power. And so they are there for a reason, whatever that reason may be. But if you could just talk a little bit about that, just kind of your perspective on that ordainment of our civic leaders, that'd be great.
Well, this is a big topic, and I'm not theologically trained nor ordained, but Romans 13 and Peter says the same thing, that we're supposed to live quiet and peaceable lives as best we can, and submit to the authorities. They're there for our good. And obviously that raises questions when there are tyrants and despots in positions of authority. But at the same time, that is what we're called to, so long as we're not called to bend the knee before that tyrant or that despot instead of God. At that point in time, we have a Christian obligation to be faithful to the authority of Christ and to his kingdom. But at the same time, we do need to look at that civic realm, not simply as kind of anti the authority of the church, but complementary and subordinate to the authority of the church. But the goal for the church should be to build into that civil authority and its leaders Christ, and to build as much as you can righteousness and good things into that civic authority. So this is just one person's opinion. This is my opinion, but it animates me with what we're trying to do here with the Church Ambassador Network program and the other things on biblical citizenship that we're doing. But it's a big theological question, and I always feel like we just have to have some grace for the rest of the body. I see a lot of things out there that are really condemning of the church and really condemning of other pastors. And you know what? None of us is perfectly right in all this. We need to just have a respect for and a love for the body of Christ and its many facets that we see in this arena and other arenas, and just try and build everyone up, build all these pastors up, build all these churches up, build all these individual believers up for the challenge that we have kind of right in front of us in terms of bringing the kingdom of God here to the kingdoms of man. And so I think if we do that and we encourage each other and build each other up and try and build Christ into everyone we meet, whether it's an elected official on the other side or our guy or our pastor or our parishioner, we just need to be about that work. And the Church Ambassador Network is just one more component of doing that.
Right. So Keith, I'm curious. I'm curious about your answer to this question. I know we're peppering you with questions, getting your opinions on all sorts of—
As though I'm the answer man.
But, you know, we talked beforehand about the church, either being on offense or being on defense, you know, and being a sports guy that I am, I always thought there was a difference between playing to win versus playing not to lose. And, you know, if you look around at, you know, the setting in which we find ourselves, where you have the president of the United States declaring Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day, and you have, you know, things of that nature, where the church and, you know, important religious holidays, et cetera, feel under attack by the culture. Are we on defense? Should we be on defense, or are we on offense? What's your opinion?
Well, I do feel like we have compartmentalized ourselves and kind of boxed ourselves as the church into a position where we decide whether we're going to participate in the public square or hold a position or participate in some activity. But that, in my mind, has us not just playing defense, but it has us subordinate to the government realm. And my comment to that would be, no, we're the body of Christ. We are ascendant. We are in his authority. And so we should be in authority over the culture. Now, how to do that in love and care for society, respecting the proper lines between a civil authority and the church authority, those are all tricky questions to resolve, and a lot of different faithful people will resolve them slightly differently. But this just basic posture that, yeah, we're on defense, or that we're subordinate and that we're just another actor on the civic stage, that in my mind is not consistent with the Great Commission and the authority that Christ has given us as his body.
And I'll admit, for years— I love your answer. I'll admit for years that when I would read the passage and Jesus says that, you know, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, I always imagine the church as being under attack by the gates of hell, and not the other way around. I I think it's a modern or a recent change of mindset for me that the church is actually on offense here, and we need to have an offensive mindset, not offensive, but offensive. But I love that answer, and I think that's part of it, Keith, is that if we're going to have that change of mindset, we need to understand the authority that we have in Christ on this earth.
I think if you look at the story of the Bible, the whole story, our history, God is on the offense. He's in control the entire time. Yeah, mankind fell, but he had a plan for it, and he worked it all the way down to where Christ was born of Mary, and then came, sacrificed, defeated death forever, defeated the curse of sin. God has always been in control, and even now he's still in control. So I just think that's a great mindset that, yeah, we're not meant to be on defense. We're here on offense. We're here for a short time to make a small drop in the bucket, a small impact, you know, for the benefit of Christ's kingdom here on earth. And I think that's great insight.
Well, and you know, the church is waking up, Keith. We've talked about this. That palpable feeling that people are hungry and thirsty for the church to rise up and be engaged. We're seeing, you know, kind of a historic moment here with the Catholic bishops taking a stance on CI 128 and issuing a proclamation and saying, don't support this. We need to defeat this. This is evil. And the Catholic Church is taking that stand very publicly. It seems like there's a shift, and I'm very excited to see, you know, what happens with the Church Ambassador Network. What does the Church Ambassador Network look like in 5 years, in 10 years, after you're leading it to this new plateau of success, and what does it look like here in the state of Montana? What's the vision for the future?
Well, we'll trust the Lord with that. True. But I can tell you or point to other states that have been doing it for 3, 5, even 8 years. And the partnership, if you will, or the recognition of the church in the civic arena is remarkable in those other states that have done it, to the point where they're in the government sphere looking to churches for the provision of, let's say, social services. And you look at the big issues that we face in our culture today, and ultimately they're really about a spiritual bondage, right? And who can provide the relief from that other than the church, you know, bringing Christ to people? The church has itself, and it has families, and it has renewal and an ability to renew that nothing else in society does. And in other states where they've done that, the government shepherds are recognizing that and looking to the church in those areas, as compared to the church just kind of being off to the side and maybe showing up and testifying at a hearing. It's really a much more robust presence of the body of Christ in those other states.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great vision for the future of Montana, and it's achievable. And that's the cool thing about seeing what's happened in these other states and knowing that it could be a reality here in Montana, and the benefits will flow from that.
So Keith, if someone's listening to this and they are thinking, my pastor is someone that I want to meet with Keith, hop on a phone call to learn about this Church Ambassador Network, whatever it may be, how can folks get in touch with you to learn more?
There's a website, canmontana.org, canmontana.org, that people can go to learn more about the program. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can contact us, i.e. me, directly through that. So please do. And one of the wonderful things about starting this here in Montana is traveling around and realizing there are faithful churches all over this state. Yeah. Little churches, big churches. I met with a pastor today. He's been in the ministry for over 30 years, just being faithful in his church. It's just incredible what's already out there. And so it's a real privilege to get connected into that. And so anybody that wants to participate, I'd say use that channel to do it, or they can go to the Montana Family Foundation website and do that as well.
Well, and we also talked about Big Sky Center for Biblical Citizenship, you have an app, you have a curriculum. If people want to find out more about your curriculum and your materials, where do they find that?
So that's the Big Sky Center for Biblical Citizenship, and the website is bigskybiblicalcitizenship.com. So they can look that up as well if they would like. You can find the study guide on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, out on the usual suspect book websites. So I'd encourage people, at that level too, to participate in the Big Sky Center. There's content that gets pushed out on a regular basis, really practical stuff about how to participate here in Montana, more educational and insight-oriented things about the big issues of the day and going deeper in them so that Christians feel knowledgeable and equipped. So yeah, welcome their participation in all of it.
Yep. And I'm one of those lucky few, not few, but one of the lucky that have downloaded the app so far. And hopefully our listeners are heading right to the app store right now to download more.
Yeah. They can download the app from the app store too. Yes. Right.
Great. Well, Keith, I just want to thank you again for making the trip over here to Helena and joining us. Patrick, you have nothing else to say. But Keith, I want to give you the last word. What else should we know about you and the Church Ambassador Network and the future for Montana?
Well, let's just be in prayer and be engaged as faithfully as we can and trust the Lord for the outcomes.
Great. Well, thanks so much. And thanks for listening today. Thank you. God bless.